Well, today I want to have you hear the word as Matthew has recorded the account of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 28. All four Gospels now record the historical resurrection of Christ. We're going to look at what Matthew says. Now hear the word of God. Now after the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the grave. And behold, a severe earthquake had occurred, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. And his appearance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. The guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Don't be afraid. For I know that you are looking for Jesus who has been crucified. He's not here, for he has risen, just as he said. Come see the place where he was lying. Go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and behold, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." And they left the tomb quickly, with fear and great joy, and ran to report it to his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and greeted them. And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and take word to my brethren to leave for Galilee. There they will see me." Now, while they were on their way, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priests all that had happened. And when they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers and said, "You are to say, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. And if this should come to the governor's ears, we will win him over and keep you out of trouble." They took the money and did as they'd been instructed. This story was widely spread among the Jews and is to this day. But the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated. When they saw him, they worshipped him. But some were doubtful. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen. I want to invite you this morning to Tim Hortons. I'd like you to just come in and sit down at a table, order coffee or hot chocolate, whatever you want. Because I have an appointment with a fellow named Alexander. And we're going to get together. He's had some questions about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, so I invited him to come and just take a look and see what the Bible says. Just let him have a little exposure to it. So if you wouldn't mind, you're welcome just to have a seat and listen in on the conversation, all right? Well, I'm glad to see you today, Alexander. Welcome. What are you taking your coffee? All right, well, we'll get that. You know, I've been very interested that you've had questions about the resurrection of Jesus. A lot of people have. And yet, there seems to be a great deal of evidence for it. And I thought you would be helped today if we took a little time just to take a look at one of the eyewitnesses' account to see what he records took place. And I think that can help you. At least you'll understand why folks like me and others really believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Now let me tell you just a word about this. We're going to turn in your Bibles, and I brought you a Bible so you can have it and look at it, and you can open your Bible to actually see it for yourself. Matthew was a tax collector before Jesus called him. And when Jesus called him, he left everything and followed him. So he was with him for the most of the 3 years that Jesus was on earth. And he was with him at this time. Now, Matthew has written an account of the life of Jesus during those 3 years. That's what we're looking at. And we're looking at the last chapter in Matthew 28, where he's going to begin to describe what happened according to the way he saw it and heard it and witnessed it. Now, let me tell you just a little bit what had happened before this. When Matthew begins to tell us the story on Matthew 28, it's the first day of the week. That would be our Sunday. Now, on Friday, Jesus had been crucified. And if you read that account, and you probably have read that account, he was crucified early in the morning, about 9 o'clock. And some strange things happened about noon. It became dark. And scientists have tried to figure out on how that could have happened. Was it an eclipse or what? I can't give you the clear answer on that, but the Bible tells us that it became dark for 3 hours. And during those 3 hours of darkness, there were deep things that were happening between Jesus Christ and the God whom he claimed he had come from in heaven. We can read about that. But that was where Jesus Christ, according to Matthew, gave himself as a substitute death for sinners like you and me. And he died. And then he tells us some really strange things happened. There were some earthquakes, and actually, there were people who had died, according to Matthew, who were seen in Jerusalem walking around. So, a lot of strange things were going on. But now it's the first day of the week. And when this account begins, some women who had been followers of Jesus and did not understand why he had died wanted to see his grave. And so Matthew tells us that they went out to where the tomb was. Now, some of the other writers tell us that they were a little unsure as to whether or not they could actually see him because they said, "Who'll roll away the stone?" And Alexander, let me tell you what a tomb was like. It was cut out of the rock. And there was a big round rock that went in front of it. But you see, that rock was on a track, and it was on a slant. And that was up there, and there was a little wedge in there to keep that from rolling down. But when the body was placed in there, they removed that, and the rock rolled down into a little trench. And it was heavy. You can see some of those today if you visit Palestine. So they said they didn't know how they were going to get it open, but nonetheless, they were going out. They had a deep concern and love for this Jesus. When they got there, Well, what does it say? Behold, a severe earthquake had occurred, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. So they didn't have to worry about how to get the stone removed. And they saw this angel sitting on this stone. That's what it says. I don't know if you've ever seen an angel. I'm not sure I've ever seen an angel. But these people saw an angel, and the description of this angel was that he was so bright you could hardly look at him. White, glistening clothing. And the Bible tells us here that the guards who were at this tomb were lying flat on their face at this point. Now let me tell you just a word about the guards. Who were these people? Well, according to the Bible, these guards had been placed there by the enemies of Jesus, who were a bit afraid that he might actually rise from the dead. They were scared of that. They had watched Jesus do marvelous, miraculous things. They hated his guts, but they couldn't deny that he had done these things. They heard him say that 3 days later he would rise, and they wanted to make sure that didn't happen. So they asked the Roman governor for some guards. And he said, well, you just go make it as secure as you want. And so they had these guards out there so that no one could come, roll away the stone, remove the body of Jesus, and then claim he'd risen from the dead. They were scared of that. They were really scared of that. So here we see it. Here are these guards. But the guards hadn't anticipated that an angel would appear. And this earthquake comes. Here comes this angel. He rolls away the stone. And these guys are petrified. They are petrified. That's what he tells us here. But the angel didn't speak to them. He spoke to the women. And he said, don't be afraid. He said, I know you're here. You're looking for Jesus, but he isn't here. He's risen. Then they added these little words, just as he said. See, Jesus had been predicting this way back when. If you go back to Matthew chapter 16, he was talking to his disciples and he was asking them, who do men say that I am? And they told him some of these things. And then he said, who do you think I am? And Peter responded and said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to Peter, you know, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. It's not because you're smart, you've got insights. No. Your heavenly Father revealed that to you. And then Jesus says this, from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem, suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised up on the third day. That's what he had said over and over and over again. He had told these disciples they could not believe that. They didn't understand what was happening. They didn't understand that he would die. They thought if he could do all these miracles, why couldn't he stave off all these attacks? But they didn't understand that he had come for the purpose of death. See, he was introduced to the world as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Here was an offering for sin that God was going to be offering in the offering of his Son. And he had said to in the disciples' hearing before, he said, I lay down my life for the sheep. No man takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. So he had said this over and over again, but they didn't get it. They didn't get it. Well, the Pharisees heard it. That's why these guards are here. But Jesus says to these women, and you can see it here, Alexander, he says, come on in and take a look. See where he was lying. Eyewitnesses, the tomb was empty. Somebody had said that the stone wasn't rolled away to let Jesus out. It was rolled away to let the women in so they could see that it was empty. Then he says, now you go tell my men that I'll meet them up in Galilee. They had come from Galilee, many of them. He had spent a lot of time in Galilee ministering, and they had a favorite spot to meet, and he said, I'll meet you there. In the meantime, however, these women are on their way. They're running to tell the news. They're a bit afraid, but they're joyful too, because they've gotten word now that Jesus is alive. And then all of a sudden, here's Jesus, and he appears to them, and he speaks to them. And they are overwhelmed. And you know, it's a wonderful thing, Alexander, when you read this, you can realize what kind of relationship he had with his men and with people. You know, they really loved him. They really loved him. So here they see him, and the Bible tells us they ran and bowed down before him and grabbed his arm, his feet, and worshiped. It's very interesting that Matthew says that. You know, if you saw just a person and somebody was coming over and worshiping to him, you would say, something that's not right. You only worship God. But it's very interesting here that Jesus did not tell them not to worship him. A couple of places in the Bible where angels appeared and persons didn't know exactly who they were, and they bowed down and worshiped them, and they said, get up, get up, get up, get up, get up. We're not God. Jesus never said that, which is another testimony that Matthew gives us here, just a little subtle idea as to who this person is. So anyway, he makes this word again, telling them, I'll see them in Galilee. I'll see you in Galilee. Now, Matthew doesn't tell us about some of the other appearances that Jesus made. Some of the other writers do give accounts for that. But Matthew's just focusing on this one idea, that he arose and that they were now to see him up in Galilee. Now, meanwhile, something was going on. It was very interesting. These guards had recovered themselves to the place where they went back to the city, to the people who had hired them in the first place, told them what had happened. So they called an assembly to try to figure out what they were going to do. Now, it's interesting that they didn't say, well, we have an eyewitness account now that Jesus Christ must be alive because that tomb is empty. He's no doubt who he claimed to be. One would think that could have happened. In fact, there were at least two who did believe that. Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea. Two of the men who were probably in that assembly, when they heard this, they did believe that Jesus rose from the dead. They did believe that he was who he claimed to be, but the rest of them didn't. They said, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? So they decided that they would start a rumor. And they would pay these guards a big, fat bonus to tell this story. And the story went like this. While we were asleep, his disciples came and stole his body. Now there's some problems with that. You stop and reason with it. Alexander, do you know what they do with guards that sleep on duty? it's in the military, they might even be executed. You don't sleep on duty if you're a guard. The second thing, which is very interesting, is how do you know what's going on when you're asleep? That's a strange rumor. While we were sleeping, they came and took him. Now, you know, the disciples, they didn't have a clue about his resurrection. Why would they steal him? They were all hiding. If they had killed their leader, don't think those fellows felt real secure. They weren't running around stealing Jesus' body. You can be sure of that. No, the guys that wanted to keep him in the grave were these Pharisees, these scribes. Interesting thing is that the media cooperated fully. The media picked up on this rumor and the word spread. You probably still hear it today. Have you heard that? That probably his disciples stole his body. Yeah, that's the way it all started. Matthew tells us what really happened. So if you want to believe that kind of thing, I suppose people are free to do that, but it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. So according to Matthew, the 11 go to Galilee. And there Jesus appears to them. And the Bible tells us once again that these men worshiped him. And he accepted their worship. You wonder why Christian people gather today in the name of Jesus and they worship in the name of Jesus? Because they believe the biblical account that he came from God and is really the second person of the Trinity, as the Apostles' Creed claims. So, they worship. Now, some were doubtful. They still were having a little problem getting this all together. You know, it isn't normal, is it, to be at a person's funeral and then 3 days later find that he's alive again. We've heard some strange stories lately, but nothing like this. No, he was dead. And he was back to life, and they're still trying to figure this out. And then Jesus makes this final comment to them. He says, "All authority has been given unto me in heaven and in earth." Now that's an astounding statement. But let me tell you why that's true, Alexander. You see, he came to do the will of God. He came to be a substitute for man in his lost condition so that he could be saved. And when he went to the cross, he died in the place of those people that God would be saving. And then he rose. And the Bible tells us that because of what he had done, God now gave him everything. Everything. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And at another point, the Bible says the only thing that was not put under his rule was the Father who gave him all that rule. And then he made this comment to them. He said, "Now you go and disciple the world. You go and disciple the nations. You go preach this good news that there is life eternal in my name." And he said, "You're to disciple them. You're to baptize them." Alexander, you've heard about baptism. Why do people baptize? Because Jesus commanded them to baptize them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And there's your Trinity. And then teach them everything that he had taught them. And then he made this wonderful statement. I am with you till the end of the world. I am with you. Don't worry. Well, there it is, Alexander. You might well wonder why some of us give ourselves to telling this story. And that's the reason, because Jesus said to all of his people, go and tell. Go and tell. And it's really good news. I hope this will help you understand why we believe in Jesus Christ as the risen King who is ruler over all. We've surrendered our lives to Him as King. It's His will that we seek to do. And I'm praying and hoping that that will make sense to you. Now, if you'd like to get together again, we can do that, and then we'll go over and take a look at Mark and see what Mark says about it. And we can then go to Luke, and we can go to John. Because I really want you to have a clear picture of what God's Word says. God's Word says, you know, this is the record, or this is the testimony that God has given to us eternal life. And that life is in His Son. He that has the Son has life. And he that has not the Son of God has not life. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life in His Son. He that believes has the testimony in himself. He that does not believe has made God a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given concerning his Son. So, Alexander, just let me say that this isn't just Matthew's account. This is God's recorded testimony of what happened and what is true. And I sure hope you don't want to call God a liar.